Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Tom Dunkel is going to bring you some inspiration after he drops a whole bunch of education in real estate investing your way. So enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I thought I'd share some festivities with your crowd, so.
That'll be fun. I'm pretty sure this will be a good comment because I know everybody right now is going, oh, happy birthday, Tom. Even if they don't know you, they'll be glad to be nice because that's how my audience is. So tell me about Tom and where you're located, what you do in and around real estate. Give us some of the story.
Sure. So I'm Tom Dunkel. I'm managing director of Belrose Storage Group, and we are headquartered outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, so yeah. I guess if I lived in Philly, I'd want to get my stuff in storage right now.
Well, what's funny, Lee, is we don't own any storage in this area. We're riding the demographic waves and we're more down in the Southeast. So,
well, you know, we like to say the moving trucks come down full and go back empty. And I say that right. One of my dear friends is on city council in Philadelphia, Alan Dodd. Okay. Hopefully he'll be mayor one day and Alan could fix Philly if anybody can.
So. Sure. Yeah. Well, he's a great real estate developer, very smart guy.
He's a brilliant guy. And I love how he's been like, not an elected official behind a keyboard, but like out there, no matter what's happening in the city. So anyway, so talk to us a little bit about how you landed in storage, because it's become a little trend on my show here lately. Everybody's in the storage space, but it's essentially owning an ATM and getting great returns on your money with a little bit less hassle than you see with some other forms of real estate investment. So give us the space on how you landed there.
Yeah, sure. So the short story, I don't know, I tend to be kind of long-winded, so I'll try to keep it short. But I got into real estate in 2006. I was in the corporate world and my boss said something very interesting to me. He said, "You're fired." So I was forced out on my own, which was just a kick in the pants that I really needed to go and do my own thing because it is something that I had wanted to do for a long time. Of course, 2006, as we know, is not the best timing to get into real estate, but I did, and I went in whole hog and started wholesaling residential homes and did some fix and flips and picked up some rental properties. And thank goodness I am out of that business entirely now, because that was not only the tough lessons of the downfall, but just residential real estate is just not for me. I don't think I'm the right guy to be that kind of landlord type person. So anyway, after the crash, had to reinvent. And so that's when I found discounted mortgage notes, distressed mortgages. So I started buying pools of those. And so we've had a nice run with that business, connected with my partner, Joe Downs. We've been business partners for 12 years now. So along the way, we've done lots of different things in real estate. We've done hard money lending. We've done vacation rentals. But a few years back, we were really intrigued by the self-storage business. Because of what you said, how it's kind of little ATMs, little metal boxes with cement floors and roll-up doors. And I could get my head around that business pretty easily. And so we got educated, started surrounding ourselves with the right people that we could learn from. And finally, in 2020, we started purchasing our own facilities. And so now we're about to acquire our 9th facility. We've got number 10 and 11 in the pipeline, and we're always out looking for good deals. But it is a great business. We've had some exits already, and we've been riding a nice wave, but we also have focused a lot on the operations as well. So we're not just a transactional shop, but we have a great operations team to make sure that our delinquencies are down and that we're pushing our rates and all that good business stuff.
Okay. So now understand a large portion of my audience is consumers and you just slipped into a ton of industry vocabulary, which is typical for investors and people in the state. We talk in our language. So let's back up briefly. And I want you to go back to something in your history because I could tell what's happening in the comments and in the remarks is What are mortgage notes? What is that pool he was talking about? Because for the average American consumer, they don't have any idea what you're referencing. And I'll say this too, most real estate professionals don't dabble in that as well. So can you give us a brief snapshot on what that is and how an investor can operate in that space?
Of course. Yeah. I didn't mean to gloss over it, but was trying to get to the storage part. But yeah, we've been buying distressed mortgage notes since 2010. And what that is, Lee, is simply a mortgage that's gone into default. So a loan is made to a consumer who's purchased a home and a life event happens, you know, illness, divorce, all kinds of things that can unfortunately have negative impact on someone's ability to pay their mortgage each month. So that loan will go into default, and banks are not really in the business of doing workouts. They're typically, you know, their box is about yay big about how flexible they can be with a consumer. Plus, they have regulators that are reviewing their balance sheets all the time. And when a loan goes bad, that's really bad for the bank. It costs them money, which ultimately, let's face it, costs the management team, the CEO, takes a little ding out of their quarterly bonus. So those loans will get sold off into the world. And the larger banks will typically package these up into anywhere from hundreds to thousands of loans. And so companies like our distressed mortgage note company is called US Mortgage Resolution. And we will buy that pool of loans from the bank and we buy them at a discount. So just making up numbers, if a single loan is, if there's a $50,000 balance on it, we might pay half of that or less, depending on how damaged that note is, how damaged that borrower is. Maybe the house is also in distress. So we'll be able to buy that loan at a deep, deep discount. And what that gives us the ability to do then is to reach out to the consumer and we ask them three questions. We say, what happened? Where are you now? And what do you want to do? And they say, well, I lost my job and I couldn't find another one at the same kind of salary. So my income's permanently lower. Okay, well, where are you now? Well, I found a new job, but I really am still kind of struggling with this monthly payment. Okay, well, what do you want to do? I really want to keep my house. My kids are growing up here. We're friends with all the neighbors. You know, we go to the church down the corner. We really want to stay. Okay, great. Well, let's look at your new financial reality and let's come up with a workout plan that's going to fit that new situation. And so that's what we do with these consumers. And sometimes we adjust the amount that's owed. Sometimes we adjust the principal, the interest rate, you know, whatever we need to do to massage those numbers so that it's really a win-win-win situation, Lee, because the bank wins because they have this bad loan that's off their books. It's a win for the consumer because now they're working with an entrepreneurial organization that can be flexible and work with them to come up with a workout plan that's actually going to work for the long term. And it's a win for us because we're buying this loan at a discount and we're getting paid a nice yield through that workout plan.
So for any viewers or listeners that are now having that light bulb go off, this is why sometimes you know of a neighbor who it looks like they're going to foreclosure, they show up in the records as pre-foreclosure, and then it all vanishes. It often happens because somebody did buy the note from the bank. And so that's why it didn't get foreclosed on by, for example, Wells Fargo, because there's lots of these deals that happen in the back hallways. And they're not necessarily evil, terrible things. As Tom's mentioning, there's lots of opportunities to find a solution for the person in the house, which I think is the ultimate goal, because a vacant house that somebody's had to be pulled out of tends to have some signs of disrepair going on. All right. So we had to clear that up because we don't have a lot of people that would talk about that stuff right now, although I think that's probably coming as we go to the other side of all the forbearance era of COVID terrible policies. So let's talk about self-storage a little bit. And you talk about acquiring facilities. Are you building them from scratch? Are you buying existing properties? How do you find them? What are you looking for? Give us some of the skinny on that.
Sure. So we buy existing facilities and we're really looking for facilities, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that are in growing areas. So of course, here in the Philadelphia area, our population's, you know, pretty steady. It's might be declining a little bit. They're all going to North Carolina. That's right. Everyone's heading south. And so we're looking for those areas that are where the population's growing, there are jobs coming in, maybe a new factory's coming in. We have a market right now, actually down in Montgomery, Alabama, where there's a new water park coming in, and there's, you know, you can see these projects that are going on. They're bringing in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into those markets, and that's going to help to boost that market up. And I'd rather own a half decent facility in a great market than a great facility in a half decent market. So that's really where we start. We kind of look at that macro level. But we are looking at value add facilities. And what that means is that these are facilities that are typically, you know, mom and pop owned. They're not really run like businesses necessarily. It's really just easy mailbox money for some of these folks that are...
It's a side hustle. We'll call it a side hustle.
It's a side hustle, yeah. But the last thing a lot of these folks want to do is do any kind of marketing, any kind of market analysis. Really, they want to minimize their involvement with their customers because they, like I said, they just want that mailbox money. So as a result, yeah, their occupancy might be high, but their rates can be, we've purchased facilities where rates have been 30% below market. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to go in there, acquire the facility at a fair price for the financial or at that time. And then we can go in there and easily turn things around and increase the value of that facility because it is a piece of commercial real estate. So it is valued on the net operating income generated. So that's typically what we're doing. We have some facilities we've purchased that have extra land. And so we will either put prefabricated units on there or we will build new units on that property that's not being used. We have not yet ventured into full-blown ground-up development from dirt because, as you may be aware, the world's a little crazy right now. Supply chain is crazy. Prices and materials is crazy. Labor situation's crazy. So there's a lot of things that, as novices for that world, you know, I just don't think it'd be wise for us to jump into that.
Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. It's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. Each of you has different goals. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. You know where somebody's going to make money though, Tom, is eventually somebody's going to figure out what's happening in the world. And they're going to build a bunker style storage unit and they'll have underground units and they'll lease those to the prepper types of the world who are going to have to sign in under a pseudonym so nobody knows what's in their units. That's money in the bank, I'm telling you, because you talk about a fast-growing sector of the market. We're seeing it on the residential side where you see a parcel of land that is set up for a prepper compound. And I think it's not a passing fad when you look at... Mm-hmm. You know, the possibility of food shortages, which if anybody's like, oh, conspiracy theory, no, the president said it's coming. Look at Ukraine. You look at those things. The supply chain hasn't been fixed. And a lot of people are figuring out what they can do to take care of their families. I think there's a space for that in storage. You should check on it. All right. So the storage space for those of us that I lease units for my business, and there's always a shortage. We have to call five different facilities to even find a locker to hold our business goods. I have one for the house as well, which is basically the stuff that the kids have to take when they move out one day and they have to take it. It's not negotiable. But then I look at where the things are going and considering all of the growth that's happening in an area, how much acreage do you need to put a facility in a fast growing market? Can you convert a former big box store to a storage facility? What are you seeing as far as the next layer of trends as you pick up units?
That's a great question, Lee. And you really hit on something that is a big trend right now, which is the conversion of big box stores that are now empty. So the Kmart's and the Sears stores and the Best Buys. And you know, there are a lot of these locations that for whatever reason, they didn't succeed in that spot. And so now they're empty and they are being converted to self-storage facilities. And what's interesting about that is that's really taking advantage of a key trend in our industry. And it's probably no surprise to you, Lee, but women make the decisions in the household substantially. So the women that are renting these storage units, they need to be in a convenient, secure, well-lighted, convenient location. So whereas the first generation of self-storage was kind of tucked back in the industrial parks and that sort of thing, the new trend is that this facility needs to be in a convenient spot. So if you're smelling McDonald's and you can see a Starbucks and, you know, there's a Home Depot right there, that's the new spot for self-storage facilities. So I think folks are going to start seeing them popping up in more visible areas, more retail-ish areas than perhaps in the past.
Okay. So the show, of course, is Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we like to showcase all of the what kind of moments that happen in the business. You've been in several different specific real estate niches. And I don't know where your story is going to come from, but it's time to give the viewers and listeners a little something from the birthday boy. Tell them that one moment that you still can't believe it happened.
Surely. Well, I've been a fan of your show for a while now, so I've been just kind of dying to find the right story. And it's kind of a day to reflect a little on the past and, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And in listening to your show in the past, I've heard a lot of stories that frankly were a little, uglier side, but I thought I'd go kind of the other direction and share a happy story. So like I mentioned earlier, I got into real estate at about the wrong time. However, it did teach me a lot of lessons. And so when I left corporate America in 2006, I had a nice chunk of change set aside. That was my war chest to go out into the world. And of course, I blew it all over the next few years when the market turned down. And so I just want to share with you, this is a piece of paper I wrote down here. It's dated January 10th, 2008. Okay. I was worth about two nickels at that point in time because I had gotten wiped out. But I wrote down my personal purpose and my visions and my goal statement. And it's very personal, so I won't get too into the details here. But there are some lofty goals here for someone when this was written. Really had a net worth of pretty close to zero. But I am happy to say that not only did I reach these goals in the year that I posted here, that I wrote, 2018, but I continue to grow and exceed those goals each and every year. And I think it's a testament to the people that I've been able to surround myself with. I've been very blessed in that regard. And just seeing those opportunities and just saying, hey, let's give this a try. Let's go for it. And being smart about it, not cavalier, but hey, let's go check this out. This looks like it could be a good opportunity. So my story is hopefully inspirational for some folks out there who might be going through a tough time. Write down your goals and give it a shot. Crazy, cool, fun things happen when you're in the game and when you're giving it your best and when you're surrounding yourself with the best team. If you're standing on the sidelines, probably ain't going to happen for you. So put yourself out there, get in the game and see what happens.
I like it. Some inspirational, happy stuff. Good job, Tom. And he's not wrong, y'all. If you don't write something down, it's hard for you to even hold yourself accountable, much less anybody else. And a lot of people are excellent at making excuses. So maybe today is your day to stop making excuses and go learn something new. And maybe after you examine all these different avenues of real estate that you've been listening to on this podcast for the last 6 years, maybe it's time to start emailing or pick up the phone and ask more questions, because it's not about having to make rash decisions, but you could at least start with the educational piece. So Tom, if somebody wants to reach out to you and find out more about what you've learned in the storage space and how they can invest, give them some ways to reach you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, my mobile phone is always the best way to reach me, and that's 610-761-8940. And my email address is tom@bellroseam.com. That's B as in boy, ELROSEAM as in asset management.com.
And of course, as usual, all of Tom's stuff is in the show notes for this episode. So if you were sweating to the oldies, don't stress out, because his cell phone will be right there. And you should totally reach out to him and then ask questions about self-storage. for anything else. Right. I feel like he's glad to be a resource. Tom, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lee.
All right, guys, you know what to do. Click subscribe, hit the bell, leave Tom some love in the comments, and most importantly, come on back next time for more crazy shit in real estate, and I'll see you then.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one of the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.